It is Psalm 127 in your Bible, Psalm 127. Psalm's the biggest book in the Bible, 150 chapters, and we're going to be at 127. We're going to be in the first verse this morning, and that's as far as we will go. So Psalm 127, verse number 1. Familiar to you if you've been in church for a while, and if you read the Bible, that beautiful, beautiful psalm written for Solomon, David's son. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book. We're going to read verse 1, and then we'll have a special jump right into the message on time this morning. Are you there? Psalm 127, verse 1. Let's read it together, just verse 1, and then we'll have prayer. Ready? And let's read. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Dear Father, speak to our hearts this morning, please, from this very simple thought from your word. We appreciate so much all that the word of God has for us. God, may our hearts be open, receptive today. May the good seed of your word fall on good ground in our heart, and may it bring forth fruit for the Father this morning. We'll thank you in Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Think of all the times that I have failed my precious Lord, or turned my back and walked the other way. My heart is filled with sadness, and I'm overcome with shame, ridden with the guilt of my mistakes. But when I fall before Him and cry out in what the blood was for, to pay what you could never afford, to cleanse you and free you and see you restored. That's what the blood was for. I may never such a good and holy God could shower me so freely with His love. It's so hard to imagine that after all I've done, my simple plea could ever be enough. But when I stand before Him, He sees all my faults, and yet He whispers, my child,
in the song as well this morning. Thank you so much for that. I want to read that verse for you again, Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. It was Family Day. So I want to speak on the family a little bit this morning. I want to ask the question for the title of the message: who's your architect? Who's your architect? When we talk or think about building a family, who is your architect? Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you for the beautiful song. Thank you that the blood was for restoration and healing and forgiveness. Lord, thank you that we can be saved. And then, Lord, once we're saved, when we fail you, we can be brought back by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's someone under the sound of our voice this morning who is yet to appropriate that blood, yet to receive Jesus as Savior, I pray their heart will be convicted and moved to do so even this morning, Lord, before it's too late. Blessed families. Bless the families of Faith Baptist Church that make up the membership here. Lord, bless those that are visiting with us. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless every family represented here. Thank you for that wonderful institution. Help me as I preach your word this morning. Dear God, may you get glory to yourself and bring forth fruit from the message is my prayer. In Christ's name I ask it. And amen. In 1995, we began to make plans for our first building project here at Faith Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us, the auditorium you're sitting in this morning is the new part of that first project that was we began back in 1995 to plan, and dirt was turned in the year 2000, and we moved in here in 2001. I remember those days well. I was a novice. I was nervous, green behind the ears. I was a rookie about building. We never built at Marion Avenue in the 10 years I was there. I didn't know much. I didn't have much knowledge except what came from a couple of books that I read, a couple of good books that I read back then. But I'm not sure I'm any much better than that now in this second building project, to be honest with you. I did have enough sense to know that a very key person in the whole process was the architect. So the question, who is your architect, became an oft-used question as I would talk to people who were involved in building projects. Who's your architect? Who's your architect? I call Bethel Baptist Church over here. Who's your architect? Call some other places. Who's your architect? That became an oft-used question. And then as we began to build, this the first time as well as this time, as we began to build, I was asked that question many times and still am from time to time. Who's your architect? People that might be interested in building, who's your architect? Who's the one that designed and planned this thing? Who's your architect? Now, the most important building project you and I will ever undertake is not the building of a house and not the building of a church building or even a building for your business. The most important building project we'll ever undertake is that of building a family. There's nothing more important than that. There are three institutions that God ordained: family, church, and government, in that order. Family, church, and government. I believe, my opinion, I believe that the church is dependent on the family, and I believe the government is dependent on the church. And I'm not talking about a state church. I'm not talking about a state religion, but I'm talking about local churches in every town and region of the country that are on fire and have the right Bible and that are solid and sold out. Jesus Christ is the head of that church. And there's a pastor who preaches the Word of God without compromise. And then people who are saved, born again, baptized believers who follow and get the will of the Lord done in their particular area. I believe that our government is dependent upon that. Alex de Tocqueville came from France to search out America's greatness. And he toured all over America. He went to the educational institutions. He went to the fields of agriculture. He went through the arts and entertainments. And he came up with this deduction. He said, I'm not quoting now, but he said, it wasn't until I visited the churches of that land and witnessed the pulpits aflame for righteousness that I saw the greatness of America. And he said, when America ceases, America is great because America is good. And when America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. Well, we're there. One of the reasons America has ceased to be good is righteousness is not preached from our pulpits anymore. People don't want to be told how to live. They want to be told about Jesus but on Sunday, but don't tell me what to do with Jesus when it comes to Thursday. It's sad. That's another message for another time. Now, so the government's dependent upon those churches, but the churches are dependent on strong families. Now, just a minute. If you're a widow or a widower here this morning, if you are a single mom, if you're a teenager here by yourself, you're the only one from your family. That doesn't mean that you're unimportant to the strength of a church. Girls, really, we shouldn't be eating that candy now. If you could just put it down in your lap and hold it till after the service is over, I'd appreciate that. It makes me want to have a piece, and I can't have one right now. Amen. So you'll wait there just for a little bit. If you're a widow or a widower, a single mom, if you're a teenager here all by yourself this morning, it doesn't mean that you're not important to the strength of Faith Baptist Church. Every member is important to the strength of Faith Baptist Church. But families are ultra important. Families. Strong families. Families that are squared away on the Word of God. And brother, if the government is dependent upon the church and the church is dependent upon the family, that makes the first institution of marriage and family incredibly important. Incredibly important. Let me ask you, Dad, Mom, who's your architect? Who's your architect? Whose design are you following in the building of your family? Whose codes are you following in the building of your family? You know, the truth of the matter is, people, you would have an easier time just throwing together a house without an architect than just attempting to throw together a family without an architect. That's what's going on in our land today, and we are reaping the results of that. And we'll tell you something, what we're reaping is not very enjoyable. Every family represented in the room this morning, those that must have all of our families here that are within the walls of our house, those that are here with part of your family here, every family is following the design and plan of some architect. You don't build without an architect. You might build a garage for your mower. You might build a coop for the chickens. Without an architect, but you can't build a family without the involvement of an architect, and I might add, the right one. In this psalm, Psalm 127, David wrote this psalm for his son Solomon. It's called the Family Psalm. And the first truth mentioned in this family psalm, and there's several of them that we won't address this morning, but the first truth mentioned in this family psalm or song is right there in verse number 1, right off the get-go, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. If God doesn't build the house, those who labor to build it do so in vain. Folks, you don't want to spend your years in your family in vain, do you? Nobody wants that. You say, Pastor, how can God build it and others build it? It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Who builds it? Does God build it? Do we build it? That's very easy to understand. You know that an architect builds the house in his mind and on paper. That's how he builds it. He never turns a shovel. He never picks up a tool as far as a hammer or a wrench or a saw or anything like that. But he builds it in his heart. He builds it in his mind. He builds it on paper, piece by piece. He puts the plans for that thing as he builds it in his mind on paper. You know, I've said over and over again, God did us a wonderful favor as a church by bringing the Carlson family here some years ago. And boy, I don't know where we'd be in this project without Brother Dennis. You know, Brother Dennis has not turned one shovel over there. Brother Dennis has not picked up one tool. But do you know he's built this project in his mind? He has built this church. If you don't believe he's built this church, ask the field superintendent. I got 3x5 card. This is not it, but I got it on my desk back there. Both sides are completely full Tuesday morning. I got a bunch of questions for Brian. Where'd those questions come from? Not me. I walk around over there and say, my goodness, this looks great. Amen. Brother Carlson goes in and he goes, man, look at this. We've got to make sure of this. And it's not all bad stuff. He just said, they got to think about this.
You know what he's done? He built in his drive to work on the job up there in Chicago, in his drive home. He's building. He never picked up a tool, but he's building that thing. Now, if we don't follow, and this is what happened for us. God built a family in His Word. And if we don't follow the blueprint that God has created for the purpose of building a family, then we will labor in vain as we attempt to build a family. You understand what I'm saying? Those men just can't gather over there on a whim and say, hey, let's put a building up. They can't do that. Ushers, if you would, let the seat folks be seated in the back there when there's that many folks going out, okay, as they come back in. Y'all catch them, all right? That'll be good. Now, some of God's people are succumbing to the blueprint of the world when it comes to building a family. And I'm going to tell you, folks, the world's design for a family is not going to work.
Right.
I'm not even going to talk about that this morning. Let me give you some thoughts on building your family. Building your family. Number one, the approved drawings are necessary. The approved drawings are necessary. Very interesting process when you get ready to build a building in this village. You got an architect, he puts the drawings on paper. They're sent down to the building inspector, the village office down here. Gary, forget his last name right now, but Gary. And then Gary looks over them and he checks it according to the codes that are pertinent to the village of Bourbonnais. And then they're sent up north to a place in Naperville, a company called B&F. And they review them by all the recent code manuals and code books. And they send their suggestions. And they send the things that must be done to bring this thing right. And then the village building inspector gets it. And it goes back to the architect. And the architect makes the changes and sends it back to the building inspector. He sends it back to Naperville. And sometimes that's two or three times before finally they are the approved plans checked off by everybody. And the architect takes his stamp and his seal, and he stamps those plans, and those plans become the necessary plans for the construction of that building. You men that are involved in that know what I'm talking about. They become the necessary plans for the construction of that building. Now, God has described and defined how to build a family. He has described and defined how to do it on paper in His Word. So we can build it by that design. And if we're going to build it by that design, we must have a copy of God's approved plans. And we do. We have a copy of God's approved design for the family. It's found in His Word. Now don't run to the bookstore and buy Benjamin Spock's book on how to rear children. And don't run to the bookstore and pick up some psychiatrist's book on a marriage relationship. Get into the Word of God. The design, the definition of how to build a family, this is where the necessary drawings, the approved drawings are found. This Bible contains what every man, every woman, every child needs to know concerning building a family. Listen to me, I don't mean to be ugly, but do not pretend to be serious about building a family if you are not consulting the plans regularly. You hear what I just said? Do not pretend. Listen to me. There's a reason why Christian families fall apart. It doesn't happen by accident. And I'm telling you, families, dads, mom, don't pretend to be serious. Oh, Pastor, I'd like to have a good family. Man, I want a good family. I want a strong family. Don't pretend to be serious about building a family if you're not consulting the approved plans regularly. Listen very carefully. Not everything that you read will be about the family. But everything you read will help you. Everything I read in here helps me. And if I am what I'm supposed to be, if I get the help that I should get from this book right here, and if you do the same, it will help us build a strong family. You know, every morning, when I come over here to the church, I got some boots in the back of my vehicle, and I put my boots on. I get all kinds of comments about Did your wife pick those out for that outfit? You know, for those the boots. They're high top camouflage boots, of course, you know. And I wear them over there, and I walk around. And the other morning, I walked around in that building, and I was amazed at what I saw. There were, I think, 7 different trades on the site. The electrical men, the electrical trade was here. The HVAC men were here. The plumbing people were here. The sprinkler system people were here. The carpenters were here. The masons were here. The steel erectors were here. There were 7 different trades on the site over there working. And do you know what I saw all of them doing? They were all consulting the plans. One of the electricians, the supervisor, the foreman on the job, he was looking over the plans. The HVAC foreman, the heating and air conditioning man, venting man, he was looking over the plans. The plumber guy was looking over the plans. In fact, he was with Brian Reiser, and they were talking about the plans together. The mason had his copy of the plans, and the sprinkler guys had their copies of the plans. They were all of them different trades, all of them different type of work, but they were all consulting their copy of the architect's drawings. You know what? When they all do that, and they all do their part according to the drawing, it all comes together. If you've been keeping an eye across the parking lot over there, you've got to admit, in the last month, that thing's been transformed. All of those trades were busy consulting the architect's drawings. And Dad, there is a blueprint for you. And Mom, there is a blueprint for you. And parents together, there is a blueprint for us. And kids in the home, there is a blueprint for you. And if Dad will consult the plans that involve him, and if Mom will consult the plans that involve her, and parents consult the plans that involve them, and the kids consult the plans that involve them, and all of us just do our part according to the plan, the thing will work. Because God designed it, and God never designed failure. Get in the program with the plan for your part in a family. And don't pretend to be serious about building a family until you're consulting the blueprints regularly. It all works together. You know what this, you know what happens? You know what here's 2 words that are so important. And Brother Dennis taught me this, the first project. There's 2 words that are so important when you put a building together. Critical path. Critical path. The critical path. One trade can't jump in front of another one. You can't do that. The framers can't come in and start putting up walls without the building up around it. That'd be dumb. There's a critical, and you know what there is? When the critical path is followed, there is order. And there is a critical path. There is a divine order. There is a proper order when it comes to building a family. And when we get away from God's divine plan, when we get away from the critical path defined for us in this book, you know what sets in? I'll tell you what sets in. Confusion. Confusion. I don't mean to be ugly, but the average American family today is defined by one word, dysfunctional. You know what that's another word for? Confusion. Confusion. And it's not God's fault. God put the critical path in the Word of God. The world has turned the blueprint upside down. God's design is Dad leading Mom and then parents leading children. The world has turned that thing upside down. Now we've got family, got children leading parents. You don't believe that? Visit Walmart. I want it. Oh, okay. Teenagers throwing temper tantrums until they get their way, slamming doors. Who's leading who? Mom's throwing temper tantrums, pitching fits, making decisions. I don't mean what color is the paint going to be on the living room walls, what we're going to have to eat Wednesday night. I mean, life decisions. Well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this. Talk to the... I don't mean to be ugly, folks, but this thing is chaos. There's a reason it's chaos. We've gotten away from the divine order. The critical path is found in the Word of God. Amen. There's a company out in Utah that does church buildings, and the name of the company is Building God's Way. We considered them. Building God's Way. They help churches and ministries build buildings. A couple of things we didn't feel comfortable with about that company, so we didn't go that direction. But I'm going to tell you something. When it comes to a family, you don't want to go any other direction other than building God's way. And you can find that. You say, well, how is that, Brother Angel? It's right here in this book. Number two, not only are the approved plans necessary, the approved drawings necessary, but let me say this, a commitment to labor is necessary. Do you see that word right there? Y'all with me this morning? Everybody's still here, right? Except the Lord build the house, they what? Labor. In vain that build it. Listen to me, folks. A properly built family doesn't just happen. You've been here Sunday after Sunday, many of you. You drive in. I see you looking over there. In fact, I see some of you walking through there. Be careful when you do that. Sort of not made to walk through. There's still sharp edges on some of the studs and that type of thing. If you let your kids go over there, don't let them run loose, please. They'll tear something up and get themselves torn up. But you see the progress in that thing. You know what subconsciously you realize when you see that thing coming along over there? Somebody, in fact, several somebodies has been here the past 5 or 6 days laboring to make that happen. It didn't just poof. Believe me, if it could be that way, we'd have poofed a long time ago. Amen? And families don't just, you don't just rub a little bottle that washes up on the beach. Well, I wish I could have a good family. Poof. It takes labor. It takes work. It's a process. It's a commitment to labor. Dad, you know, here's what happened. You got a single man, and that single man is pursuing single men interests and single men pursuits. And you got a single female, a single lady, and she's pursuing single lady interests and single lady pursuits, and then they get married. You know what has to happen immediately? Those single and individual pursuits have to be put aside. And husband and wife have to enter into the thing of building a home, a marriage together. They must now work. They must labor together. It takes work to build a marriage relationship. It takes more than ooey-gooey love. It takes work. It takes work to build a parent-child relationship. And do you realize how hard it is to get the job done when one of the family members is not committed to laboring? I'll tell you what. I'm so weary of seeing good women who are committed to build a family, yet their husbands are still boys. They're more committed to fun and games and play and money and movies and video games. Heaven help us. You can't believe some of the stories. Four or five years ago, Pastor, can you do anything to help? My husband comes home from work. We eat supper. 9 o'clock at night, him and a couple of the boys start playing video games, and they play till 4 o'clock in the morning. Huh? Sleep for an hour or two, get up and go to work. Come home, do the whole thing over again. That's laboring, isn't it? Look, I'm not against hobbies. It's deer hunting season. I hope the Lord knows that. It's too hot for deer hunting season. This week, remind Him that, Lord, it's beyond October 1st. It's supposed to be cool now. So, I think He got tied up on something else up in heaven and forgot it. I'm being facetious. You can, folks, I'm not being irreverent. I'm having it. Some of you folks take yourselves way too seriously, man. I'm telling you. Oh. Oh, my God. I'm not against that, but I'm going to tell you something, sir. You know, that's why I wasn't here last Sunday morning. I wanted to be in this pulpit last Sunday. So bad. I wanted to cry with you. And I could have preached here and been there 2 hours after the visitation started. 28 years ago, I made a commitment to a lady. And I'm not perfect in that commitment. I've failed many times. But I will tell you something, by the grace of God, I'm going to honor that commitment. You young couples, and there's a bunch of you. You know, we have the mentality in this country right now. Say, if I can get into this job at 23, 24 years of age, and if I can work hard for about 25 years, I can retire when I'm 50. I can travel and do things. You know, I'm not against that. Although you better be careful about not having something to do. But that's kind of the dream. Boy, you hear all these stories. They retired at 38, retired at 41, retired because they got into their job or their vocation early, and they just poured themselves into it. And now, man, they're God bless his work, and they're blessed. And I'm not against that, but you young couples, think about that for a minute. You get married when you're 22 or 23, 24, and you grow up and you commit yourself to labor and work hard at building a family. Don't wait till you're in your 40s. Don't wait till you're in your 50s. Start in your 20s. Labor at that thing. Labor at it with the wife, and labor at it with the husband, and labor at it with the children. And you know what? By the time you hit 50 years of age, that thing will bless you so much you won't believe it. Unbelievable. Labor at it. And it's not too late if you didn't get in the building process early in your family, if things have gone awry and if things have fallen apart, it's not too late. You need to pick up where you are and start now. The approved drawings are necessary, found in the Word of God. A commitment to labor is necessary. I will close with this. A solid foundation is necessary. Luke 6, Jesus told a story about two men. Said one of them got ready to build, both of them going to build a house. One man got ready to build his house. He started digging. Man, where is the rock? Kind of like we got in out here. Where is, if you didn't hear that, they started getting ready to this parking lot, and they thought there'd be 18 inches of black dirt. There was 3 and 4 feet of black dirt. And I just read that morning, Luke 6, where the Bible says the one man digged and built his house on the earth, and the house fell. The Bible says, Jesus said, that first man, he digged deep until finally, he built his house on a solid foundation, and when the storms came, the house stood. This guy, he started digging. Man, no rock yet. Good night. So what? threw his shovel away, built his house on the earth, and when the storms came, the Bible says his house fell. Now, you know what that rock is? This man dug down until he found the rock. You know what that rock is? It's a picture of Jesus Christ. His sayings, His will, His word. Jesus said the wise man is the one who digs deep until he finds the solid foundation of my word, my will, a relationship with Christ, and he begins to build on the rock. My friend, I'm going to tell you something. You can't build on his word and his way and his will until you first know him in a relationship as your personal Savior. And I'm saying to all families here this morning, more than anything else, more than you having a happy family, Jesus Christ wants a relationship with you. And you and Him together. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to be your Savior, to say, you say, why do I need a Savior? From your sin. Everybody's a sinner. Everybody's violated the commands of God. Everybody has thumbed their nose in His face. Everybody has sinned against Him and gone the other direction. And you know what? When you're confronted with that and you admit it and say, you're right, and you turn to Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection, you put your faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior. You know what happens when you trust Christ? Clink! Now you have a solid foundation. Because you know what God's interested in? I'm done. God's not interested in you just having a happy family here on earth. God's interested in you and your family in eternity. You know, that was really the sole comfort in those first few hours my mother-in-law passed away. People have said, was she sick? No. No, she wasn't sick. She had a heart attack on Sunday morning, didn't know it. 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago today. Had a hard time breathing in the shower and felt some pain around her neck. And I guess that's kind of a sign of a woman's heart attack. It affects him a little differently maybe than a man. But she didn't know it. She went to church. The Saturday before, she visited with my father-in-law from 10 o'clock till 3 o'clock. They called on their Sunday school class. 78 years old. Came home and went to a bridal shower for a young girl in the church. Came back home from the bridal shower and made treats for the Sunday school class. Saturday night. Sunday morning had what they found out on Monday was a heart attack. My father-in-law couldn't believe it when they said, we're going to have to admit her. And they ran the test. They took her to Iowa City and found blocked arteries and found that her lower third of her heart was damaged. My wife was there Tuesday night. Wednesday morning, talked to the doctor. Spent the night in the room with her mother. The doctor said, Joyce, he said, I really don't, you know, your family's out there near Chicago. I really don't think it's necessary for you to be here. I think your mom's going to go home Friday. You got some medication. She's responding, and I think she'll go home. I said that on Wednesday night in prayer time. And at midnight, the call came. My dad, my father-in-law, Terry, mom's having trouble, and I don't think she's going to be here long. Boy, you're stunned. I didn't respond. He said, do you hear me? I said, yes, sir. He said, call Steve. And I'll call Heidi, and I'm going to cut out some of that. 20 minutes later, he called back for the third time, and he said, Terry, mom's gone. He was in the recliner, trying to doze in the room with her. She got up to go to the bathroom. He said, I kind of noticed her coming back from the bathroom, but I was in a sleepy stupor. He had a blanket over him. It had fallen off his feet. The last thing she did was stop long enough to pick that blanket up and put it over his feet. Climbed in that bed, pulled the sheets up. It was gone. Boy, when you get that call, more than anything else, you're glad that mom was saved. Saved. And underneath the deep sorrow that just overwhelms you is that underlying knowledge of where she went. Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, will the circle be unbroken in the sky, Lord? Are you saved? Dad, are you saved? Mom, are you saved? Young person, are you saved? You know, you're going to that great land. That's how you begin to build on a solid foundation. Thank you for listening this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If I could have everybody's undivided attention for just a couple more minutes, we'll be done. Brother Angel, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I know where I would spend eternity. I'm born again because I've trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm born again for a Bible reason. I don't hope so. I know so. I want to ask you to do one thing. I want you to be honest with me. If you know that you're saved, I want you to be honest with me and with God this morning. If you know that you're saved, would you raise your hand right now, please, while we wait? God bless you. Take your hands down. Is there somebody here this morning, Brother Angel? I'm not sure I'm saved. I couldn't raise my hand just then. I am concerned about where I'm going to spend eternity. And I don't know if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. That bothers me. Pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand, please, wherever you're sitting? Just slip it up and take it right back down. I'll see it. I won't call your name or come to you. God bless you. Is there another one? Would you do that this morning? Let me pray for you. I'm not sure that I'm saved in the balcony on the lower floor, Brother Angel. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that? If you're not sure that you're saved, born again by the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ, we're going to give the invitation in just a minute. We'll have ladies on my left. We'll have men on my right. In just a minute, they'll come when I ask them to, and they'll have a Bible, and they'll show you how you can be saved. I can't drag you down the aisle to trust Christ as your Savior, but I can tell you that this is the most important decision you'll ever make in this life. Why don't you come trust Christ today? Pastor Angel, I'm saved, but I've never been baptized in deep water since I've been saved. I've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand, please? You're saved, but you've not been baptized. Maybe you're here today to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. If you're ready to make that step of obedience, we're ready for you to come now with heads bowed and eyes closed. Why don't you step out and come right now while we wait and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You come, and we're ready to do that baptism this morning. You can come while we wait, or you can come during the invitation time. Speak to Brother Caleb about it. Brother Angel, I'm saved. I'm baptized. Something was said in the service this morning in the message on building a family. Who's my architect? I've gotten away from the design and the plans of Almighty God and His Word. I don't consult it daily and regularly, and I'm not committed to it like I should be. And God spoke to my heart this morning as a young person, as a wife, as a husband, as a mother, as a dad. God spoke to my heart this morning about building a family. Would you raise your hand, please, wherever you're sitting? Be honest about it. Would you do that? God bless you. Amen. I appreciate it. That's wonderful. Take your hands down. Just a minute. We're going to have the invitation. I want to pray first and ask God's blessing on it. Dear Father, I pray, O Lord, that You'd help us, please, to build strong families. God, it's by Your grace. It's with Your divine help. And You didn't throw us out on a limb and then and tell us to do it and then saw us off, Lord. You gave us the instructions. You gave us the plans, the blueprint. It's in your Bible. And God, help us to be committed to labor at it and work at it. And Lord, help us to build on a strong foundation. God, bless the families that are in this room this morning. Speak to hearts. Thank you for the many hands that went up. And God, I pray there'll be a tender response to your word. If any are here who are not saved, God, I pray that they'll be drawn to Christ by the power of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, those who need to be baptized, I pray that they'll step out in obedience and come this morning. And that's my prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me ask the men and the ladies who have a Bible to come and stand this morning. You normally help us at the invitation time. You get in your place. We want you to be ready in case somebody comes. Friend, if you're in this room this morning, you don't know that you're saved, I beg you, come. Let Brother Caleb put you with a lady or a man, and they'll show you from God's Word how to be saved. If you're here this morning, you need to be baptized. Now's the time to obey Christ and be obedient in that matter, or come to pray if the Lord spoke to your heart. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed.